Welcome to the very first episode of Frontline, a safe ministry podcast aimed at the churches and organisations in the Anglican Diocese of Sydney. My name is Neil Atwood, and by way of introduction, I've been the parish consultant on the safe ministry team for 7 years now. And during that time, I've met many safe ministry reps and ministry staff in Sydney Anglican churches. But for anyone listening whom I don't know, safe ministry has been in my blood for a long time. In the 34 years I spent in parish ministry before working for the diocese, my wife and I were involved in safe ministry for many of those years. In fact, since before it was even called safe ministry. We started that involvement by testing the very first version of what we now call safe ministry training in the mid-90s, when we were working in a challenging Western Sydney suburb with some deep and serious abuse issues. From there, that has grown into a great desire to see our churches develop a genuine culture of safe ministry. But enough about me. It's also very good to have my co-worker on the safe ministry team here, Kylie Williams. Kylie, would you introduce yourself and tell us a bit about your background and your current work?
Yeah, thanks, Neil. So like you said, I am the safe ministry training consultant on the safe ministry team. My involvement in safe ministry in the diocese has been for about 20 years now, and primarily in the area of training, but I've also been involved in and served on the safe ministry board in that time as well. Previously, I worked for YouthWorks doing safe ministry training there, and now for the last 3 years, I've been doing the same work but working for the PSU in the safe ministry team. And so really what that involves is writing and maintaining the training material and training the trainers, or now that we're online, also training the webinar presenters and producers, and just keeping abreast of the ever-changing landscape of safe ministry practices and requirements, which are often as a result of legislation changes or diocesan ordinances, or as the case may be now, a global health pandemic and the many, many changes that we've had to face in a really short period of time there.
Yeah, we certainly have had a lot of changes, haven't we? Mm. Yeah, thanks for that, Kylie, and great to hear about the work you're doing. So why a safe ministry podcast? Well, I guess what this is meant to do is address a couple of things that have been on my mind for a while. First is, this is another communication channel between us on the safe ministry team and key people in the churches of the Sydney Anglican Diocese. Those are people like senior ministers and other pastoral staff, certainly the safe ministry representative, and perhaps certain key lay leaders, such as those who've got oversight of children's or youth ministries. Now, I regularly send out newsletters to safe ministry reps, but as a rule, those emails tend not to go to other people in their church. So our hope for this podcast is that it gets useful and timely information about safe ministry matters to all the people that count, and do so in a way that is more flexible and easier to access, because, of course, there's many people who enjoy podcasts know you can listen to this in the car, while you're jogging, while you're taking your dog for a walk, while you're doing anything that you're doing at the moment while you're perhaps still in partial lockdown through the COVID-19 period. And I guess the other factor in this is it's so much easier to cover more information in more detail in this format than by writing everything out in an email, which would end up being terribly long and probably quite unreadable. Now, we hope to produce episodes regularly, and we hope you're going to find this useful, and I hope you'll share it around to whoever you think will benefit from the content. Now, just to make sure we all are on the same page here, how does this work with podcasts? Well, if you're new to podcasting, you can access this content in a couple of ways. You can certainly visit the Frontline page on the safeministry.org.au website and then manually click on each episode and play it there and then from the website. But you can also subscribe to the podcast, which is what many of us do with the different podcasts that we listen to. There are lots of ways you can do that using apps on your phone or your tablet. I use one called Pocket Casts on my Android phone, but there are many to choose from. And once you're subscribed, each new episode simply appears in your app as it's released. Now, each episode we think will follow a similar pattern. That is, we'll cover any news or particular highlights that are in the Safe Ministry scene that are current at the time that we record. But then the main topic may involve an interview with someone with particular expertise, or perhaps myself and or Kylie unpacking a larger topic in more details. We'll include some Safe Ministry tips and tricks or reminders of certain key things. And to top it off, we'll have a brief look at a Bible passage that speaks to some aspect of Safe Ministry and the gospel work that each of us and our churches are involved in. And I think that's important to help keep us grounded and remind us of what really drives Safe Ministry. Now, each episode will have its own page on the safeministry.org.au website. And as I've mentioned, you can certainly play the episode from that page, but you'll also find information about the topics that we cover in each episode and any links to resources that we may mention in each episode. Also on those pages, you can join in the conversation by using the comments section there. And that is for your feedback on the episode or questions or perhaps suggestions for topics to cover down the line. So our hope is that this becomes a really useful resource in your church or organization. Well, on to some news and updates. Kylie, can you fill us in on what's going on the Safe Ministry training front?
Yes. So, like I mentioned, Safe Ministry training is both online and face-to-face. But of course, due to the restrictions with COVID-19 at the moment, we're currently unable to run face-to-face events. We're not sure how and when they will begin back up. But in the meantime, what that means is all our training is happening online. And that appears to be serving people well. Most people are completing their training in a relatively short period of time. Some people are doing it on the day that they enroll. I know that that happened for just a number of people yesterday. So it's important to remember that if your training is due, that you need to renew it before your accreditation expires, because there's one thing that is certain, and that change is inevitable, and we just need to be on top of what the best practices and what the current ordinances and legislation is, and maintaining your training is one way to do that. So because change is inevitable, Safe Ministry training continues to be updated, particularly when state legislation or diocesan ordinances change. And over the past few years, and definitely as a result of the Royal Commission recommendations, there's been a number of new or amended pieces of legislation that particularly affect us in religious bodies. So things like the reportable conduct scheme, mandatory reporting for all leaders, changes to the Crimes Act, and the child safe standards that have been recommended for any organisation working with children are things that are just a few things that have become, you know, part of what we need to be knowing about and abiding by. And so information about all of these things can be found on the safeministry.org.au website, either under the Info and Resources tab or under the Articles tab is the best place to start looking for those things. And of course, the Safe Ministry courses have been and will continue to be updated as those changes come about. And if there's a significant rewrite of the training due by the end of the year, so people can keep an eye out for that. In terms of diocesan changes, I think we're about to talk about a significant change that's just occurred recently, Neil.
That's exactly right. Because only in the last week or so, the Standing Committee of the Diocese has moved ahead in its major rethink of the Safe Ministry assessment and check process. That will be something which was familiar to many people, I know, after Synod last year. and not without some controversy, I don't think. Now, there's going to be a lot more information about this flowing in the very near future, but here are some key points just to keep you up to date. The new ordinance, which is called the Safe Ministry to Children Ordinance 2020, replaces the 2018 ordinance of the same name, and also, I think quite significantly, includes all the other safe ministry bits and pieces from other ordinances, all wrapped up in now in one comprehensive package.
And that's available, isn't it, now on the safeministry.org.au website?
It is indeed.
People can access that if they want to after listening to this.
Yep, and there'll be a link on this podcast episode page that will take you directly there as well. Mm. Now, one of the things that new ordinance does, it defines a new process called a safe ministry assessment, and every church worker, that is, in this context, anyone in our churches, paid or unpaid, who works with under 18-year-olds, well, all of those people are going to need to go through this safe ministry assessment. Now, there is a separate assessment process for clergy and paid lay workers, and that's administered entirely by the diocese. But the part that's going to interest people listening in our parishes is that the safe ministry assessment for volunteer church workers. Now, this means that every person in our church who works with children, all of our volunteers, will need to undergo the safe ministry assessment process and be cleared to work with children. Now, the core of the assessment process for volunteers is a form, a document called the Safe Ministry Check. Now, for those of you who saw the first version when it was released for comment last year, you'll be pleased to know that the version we have now is much simplified, and in particular, the character references will actually only be required for a very small number of people in our churches, and there'll be more information about that a little later. You'll be pleased to know, I hope, that we are developing an online version of the form, which will be available for all volunteer workers in the diocese. And that is designed to minimise the admin load on parishes quite significantly. Of course, a PDF version of the form will also be available for people who are unable to use the online version. And finally, at least for now, the implementation date for the Safe Ministry Assessment process is at the moment set for the 1st of January 2021. So that's going to give, I think, quite a good time for our churches to get on top of this, assuming that all the information that you need in your churches is released and made available to you within the next month or so, and that's certainly the plan. So I want to say, stay tuned to the next episode of Frontline and the Safe Ministry website and Safe Ministry newsletters and so on for more details of what this new Safe Ministry check will look like and the implications for our churches. So I wonder how you're all finding safe ministry during this church lockdown period. I know there's been endless discussions about this on social media and in other contexts, and it certainly has been a period of rapid change and adjustment. And in the absence, of course, of face-to-face children's and youth ministries, one of the first big challenges for us was how could we run those ministries online? Now, Kylie, you were involved quite significantly in developing our guidelines for this practice. What would you say has been the response?
Yeah, well, it was a very quick change around that we were working with, and it was very different to what the policies and procedures that had been recommended before were, because of course, before now, everything was encouraged not to be online or to be very limited in the way that that happened. But of course, when online is the only real way, main way that you can connect with people. What does that mean? And so I have to say it's been a very positive response from those in the diocese for the guidelines and the resources that have been put out on the safeindustry.org.au website, the COVID-19 page of that. And if any of you that are listening haven't checked that out, I'd encourage you to go and check that out now. There are loads of resources there. These were developed in collaboration with a lot of different people. So it wasn't just the Safe Industry team sitting and thinking these things through. It was working a lot with bishops, with other organisations like YouthWorks, and with other ministry leaders who are out there working on the front line and trying to work out how to do safe ministry practices in an online environment, wanting to get that balance right with managing the pastoral side of things as well as the appropriate processes side of things as well. So there's a real desire from everyone to get it right and to maintain those practices. So, for example, with Zoom meetings, making sure that we had all the right security features in place, making sure that you had the right sort of processes and procedures in getting everybody involved in that, making sure that you weren't being alone with youth or parents were giving permission for those sorts of things as well, and particularly with children, because that was an important area of how do we do this with kids. And then also how do we do it if people weren't going to get online? How do we, you know, communicate and connect with people who are it's being done remotely and it's not being done online? So there's lots of resources there for people to look at and to work through. I think we've got the balance right and it seems to be working well. I think our churches have done a remarkable thing in being able to turn around, you know, within the space of days of getting ministries happening online and involvement with youth and children and older people. And that's one other thing, that the resources there are primarily aimed at children's and youth ministry, but there are also resources and links there for how do you connect with and encourage older people perhaps to be online. And what also can you do when you are dealing with people who are in a heightened risk of abuse, or there's problems with their safety, so like domestic abuse. Anglicare has created some great resources that are available on our website. And of course, we'd also encourage people to do the domestic abuse online course that we created last year in relation to that.
Yeah, so there's lots of good resources available. And you're right, our churches have done a fantastic job of adapting so quickly. Mm. I'll tell you one of the interesting things I noticed at the start of this lockdown period. You know, I was expecting something of a surge in the online training numbers, thinking that people would take advantage of being at home more and online more. But yes, in fact, I was
everything
wrong.
Everything was online and everything was very busy with the change. And I agree. I thought we would see that, especially because we had to close down our face-to-face that was only a few weeks away at that time. We already had enrollments for it. So we just thought it would be a natural move across.
So anyway, it wasn't the case, and the Safe Ministry Training website's been pretty quiet for the duration. Not that that's a problem, of course, but it might be worth just checking. If you're a Safe Ministry rep in one of our churches, it might be worth checking how your people are going, and that they're not forgetting to refresh their training when it comes up, which I guess they could do because they're not working with kids face-to-face at the moment and, you know, things are so different. But you know, nevertheless, the training site is still pretty quiet. There's lots of space in webinars. People can hop on and can get the whole thing done really quickly and efficiently at the moment. Now, of course, if you do have any specific questions about doing safe ministry in these unusual times, do drop us a line via the contact page on safeministry.org.au, or maybe leave a question in the comment section on the page for this podcast. Just remember that those comments are all public, so you might want to just be wary about what you say there. But we would happily get back to you and answer those questions promptly as well.
Yeah, and I think that's important, Neil, because I think one of our main aims is partnering with parishes and really wanting to support people and help churches do ministry well. There's many facets to the PSU, but as the Safe Industry team, we really do want to work with churches, and we have been doing that through this time. We've had some great feedback and some great input from churches.
Yeah, correct. I think that's exactly it. But I think the word you chose is exactly the right word. This is a partnership. And we want to be working with our churches, with all the people in our churches, to make sure Safe Ministry happens well, regardless of whether we're in a pandemic or not.
Mm.
Well, to wrap things up, just a quick encouragement from God's Word. I've been reading through Ephesians earlier this year, and here are some verses from Ephesians chapter 1. They're verses 4 through to the first half of verse 6. And this is what Paul writes. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his presence. In love, he predetermined that we should be adopted through Jesus Christ for himself, according to the pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Something that comes stands out to me is that we are so used to doing the choosing in our life, aren't we? We're used to thinking of ourselves as the people who choose. We can often live our lives as if choice is the most important thing. Our choice is the most important thing in the world. But Paul says here that God chose us before we chose him. In fact, God made decisions about us long before we had any hope of making any decisions about him. And it reminds us just how much bigger than you and me all this is when it comes to who God is and how he relates to us. And it pretty much puts us in our place, doesn't it? And reminds us of how much God is in control. Paul also speaks about the blessing of being adopted by God. When he writes those words, in love, he predetermined that we should be adopted through Jesus Christ for himself, which I guess is pretty much what it means to be a Christian. It means to be someone whom God has loved and has taken in as his child. Now, what do those very simple but very profound truths say to us? Well, three things that come to my mind. First of all, I think they should make us humble, because they do remind us that it's not all about me. They help us to see God's great plans that span from before creation to the end of time. And for those of us who are chosen in Jesus, well, those plans include us as well. Then secondly, they should give us a reason to live for God, because God had a goal when he chose us, that is, to be holy and blameless in his presence, special to him and special for him. And then thirdly, these truths give us a reason to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others, because we can be confident that God is in control. And when we do seek to do Safe Ministry well in our churches, it models some of this thinking in Ephesians by putting other people's welfare before our convenience, by speaking in actions of the value that we place on people, value that we draw from how God values us. I guess that is a principle that is right at the core of our relationship with God, and one that lends weight to the idea that Safe Ministry is very much a gospel issue, and it is closely tied up with effectively preaching the gospel and sharing the good news about Jesus with others. Well, that's about it for our first episode. We hope that you found it helpful and informative. Please leave us some feedback on the comments on the episode page, and we certainly hope to see you back for the next episode.